This morning's title is an inspired one. Do justice, love kindness, walk humbly with your God. Do justice, love kindness, walk humbly with your God. Micah 6:8 was my grandmom's favorite Bible verse. Jean Rankin grew up during the Great Depression and Jim Crow segregation in Milledgeville, Georgia, and St. Augustine, Florida. When she and her sister Renee moved to Indiana in 1948 to attend Purdue University, she joined the University Presbyterian Church there. She was ordained an elder at 20 years old, and the session was comprised of white and black college students. She married my granddad, Richard Scales, just before he shipped out to Korea with the Navy, and they later raised their children in a small town called Wabash in northeast Indiana. Jean was a teacher at Wabash Middle School, helping students who had learning disabilities with their reading skills. She believed in young people, their potential, their capacity to do good. She understood that what they needed was someone to love them in concrete ways. Her work involved coming alongside students day after day, sounding out one syllable after another, working together to a new understanding of their world. The summer after my first year of seminary, I came home to Indiana and I worked as a hospital chaplain at St. Vincent Hospital. And I visited my grandmom one weekend in Wabash, and we were in her kitchen making something to eat. And she had, of course, her old blue apron that said, "Have you hugged a Presbyterian today?" tied around her waist. And we were making her favorite, a blueberries and cream pie. And she asked me, "Shug, how's work going?" All of this unexpected, pent-up frustration came out. I said, "Grandmom, I don't know if what I'm doing matters very much at the hospital. When a nurse comes in, they can administer meds or they can check vitals or keep an eye on somebody's progress. The doctors can diagnose what's wrong and recommend treatment or seeing a specialist. But most of the time, I go in and I listen to patients and I talk with them. Sometimes people are having the hardest day of their life, losing a loved one, and I'm simply there, present with them, maybe offering to pray with them. It feels like I am making a tiny contribution in a huge hospital system. Does it even matter?" My grandmom looked up at me. She wasn't much over 5 feet tall, and she spoke in the King James English that she learned as a child. "He hath showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justice and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God?" Now, looking back, if I were meeting with a young person having an existential crisis, I don't know if I'd open with a Bible verse from one of the lesser-known Old Testament prophets, but it was helpful. When I was in my 20s, making life decisions felt so intense. I had to make the right choice of school, of an internship, of classes. In the work that I did, I always had to leave my mark and make a big impact. But whenever my grandmom would quote somebody like Micah, she was reframing the question. Is the choice that you've made something you can do with integrity? Something that's not just about you, but is good for other people? Can you do it in a way that is kind, loving? When you set yourself to a decision, can you keep your head and not get too self-important about it? If you can do it that way, then do it. Jean Rankin Scales believed that simple daily acts of justice, kindness, and humility could make a positive difference in people's lives, and that that's what God asks of us. When the problems of this world overwhelm us and it feels like we're unsure of how to move forward, we can return to this question. What does the Lord require of us? Although the prophet Micah preached thousands of years ago, he understood what it felt like to feel powerless to make a difference. In his day, the ancient kingdoms of Judah and Israel were going through a profound crisis. Corruption was everywhere. Judges took bribes for favorable verdicts. Powerful landowners bought up vulnerable neighbors' homes and fields. Merchants exploited poor people with inflated prices. Religious leaders reassured listeners in their sermons that all was well, despite growing inequality and chaotic violence. Micah imagines God taking Israel to court, calling on the mountains and hills to stand as witnesses. God charges the people with breaking the covenant that they made long ago. God had promised that they would be blessed in order to be a blessing to others. The prophet rehearses the stories of God's faithfulness to Israel in the wilderness, leading them out of slavery in Egypt, protecting them and providing for them in the desert, raising up Moses and Miriam and Aaron to lead them to the promised land. But now the prophet says, the blessings they've received from God have been put to selfish ends. This has broken the bonds of relationship between God and neighbor. So what do you want from us? That's what Micah's people ask God. More religious devotion? Should we give more costly offerings to you? They put it to a simple transaction, input and output. If we give you better sacrifices, maybe you'll give us better blessings. But God's response is not about negotiating a better contract, but restoring a broken relationship. In a culture that has gotten out of control with an ethic of more and more and more for some and not enough to get by for others, God says, you already know what I want from you. That is enough. What God asks for is simple: justice, kindness, humility. In the Gospels, Jesus reframes Micah's words to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. This is a relationship with God that puts down deep roots in steadfast love and bears the fruit of the Spirit. This summer, Nassau Presbyterian Church changed the texts written on its chancel walls. The previous texts, some of them including parts of Psalm 100 that we sang this morning, have been a part of our life together every Sunday for more than 100 years. It's made me wonder if members of this church a century from now will ask themselves, I wonder why they chose these passages of Scripture. What made these Scriptures so important to them? I am so proud of the choices that you have made. They gather up the wisdom of Hebrew Scripture and the good news of Jesus Christ and invite us to join God's work in the world. They tell us to love God with all your might, to clothe neighbors when they are in need, to share food and drink with hungry people, to care for others when they are sick, to visit people when they are in prison, to welcome the stranger. They remind us, if you live in love for others, you are living in God's love, and God's love is living in you. They call us to do justice, to love kindness, to walk humbly with God. This change comes at a meaningful moment in our story as God's people. The modern-day prophet and philosopher Cornel West says that justice is love lived out in public. Justice is love lived out in public. Our world needs love and justice today, doesn't it? Right now, we are living through our own crisis that is overwhelming our lives in America. Our leaders are stoking fears by vilifying vulnerable neighbors in our midst, immigrants, refugees, queer siblings. An ideology of might makes right in our national politics has deployed soldiers to police city streets under false claims of an emergency crime epidemic. ICE agents are terrorizing our neighborhoods by disappearing innocent, hardworking people in Princeton, Trenton, and beyond. Last month, in July, 17 of our neighbors were arrested by ICE. The newspaper, The Jersey Vindicator, ran an article about one of the men, Jose Lopez, who has been detained in Elizabeth Detention Center. He is from Guatemala, but he has lived here for 30 years and has a valid work permit. Everyone else who was with him signed voluntary deportation papers under intense pressure from ICE agents. His wife and two daughters depend on him, and his daughter Melissa said, quote, "My dad means a lot to me. He's always been a good father. He's always been present. Ever since I was really little, he made sure that my sisters and I had good education. He always set a good example of being a good person with everyone and being respectful. He's always supported us in everything. He always tells us to keep moving forward." End quote. We've been waiting to hear the results of a redetermination hearing that took place on Thursday. Mr. Lopez made a statement last week, "I'm praying to God that everything goes well, that there's a ray of hope so that I can continue with my family here if I'm granted bail. May God be in the heart and the mind of the judge so that he sees my case clearly, sees that I need to be here with my family so that I can keep fighting and put everything in order. That's my hope, and I'm putting all that hope in God and in good people." End quote. I believe that God hears those prayers. I believe that God's heart breaks at how we as a nation are treating our neighbors in our town. I believe that God calls us not to turn away, but to get involved. What does the Lord require of you? I see justice when members of this church work tirelessly to exonerate incarcerated neighbors of crimes they did not commit. I feel your kindness when you serve as translators and ESL tutors with refugee families and offer free legal advice and donate to the Neighbor Fund to assist families that have been harmed by ICE. I hear your humility when you warmly welcome neighbors into this building to get groceries and access to social services from our partner, Arm in Arm, in the basement. Justice, kindness, and humility are choices we can make in the daily refusal to accept cruelty toward others as the way things have to be. When we look into the face of the neighbor, we are seeing the image of Jesus Christ within them. God asks us to welcome the stranger as if they were Jesus showing up among us. The living God, whom alone we worship and serve, will not allow corruption, cruelty, coercion to intimidate people forever. As Archbishop Desmond Tutu used to say during apartheid in South Africa, goodness is stronger than evil. Love is stronger than hate. Light is stronger than darkness. Life is stronger than death. Victory is ours. Victory is ours through Christ who loves us. Until that day comes in all of its fullness, you and I have a common purpose. What does God require of us but to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with our God? Amen.